This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today.
Sure to get down, grab your keyboard. Got a website you must see now. For libertarian viewpoints, this is your joint. Turn the Fox News down. Commentary is a forte. Each and every day, true play away. I can't get it out of my mind. I think about the podcast all the time. A national to the state news. Trust these dudes, it's really, really cool. Spangle, Harrington, and Gold, it's not their fault. Government be acting like some fools. Greg Clance and Joe Ruiz got some entertaining things for you to read. Well, baby, it's a perfect 10. Wanna get in? Better read now so you can win. We are libertarians.
No diggity.
You gotta look it up. Are we a libertarian?
No diggity.
You gotta look it up. Are we a libertarian?
No diggity.
You gotta look it up. Are we a libertarian?
No diggity.
You gotta look it up.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians this week with a brand new theme song thanks to our blog partner, Joe Ruiz. Joe sends me this, and he's like, eh, just was playing around with something. If it's dorky, you know, like, oh my God, what have you can sing?
I know, right?
Dear God, what have we done?
What have we done? It's had like 100 plays. I think Joe might make it big time.
Yeah, I wasn't home, and you texted me, you've got to see what Joe just posted.
What was everybody's first impression when they heard it?
I was like, this is not Joe.
It's nothing.
And then when I heard "Let's Think About the Podcast All the Time," I was like, "Oh, this is amazing."
Yeah. Creighton,
no, I didn't even realize that it was I didn't realize it was a separate song until we got to the part where our names were said.
They're talking about us,
Greg.
He knows Blackstreet.
This is Chris. This is Chris Spangle. This week we've got Chris Galt and Creighton Harrington, the original host. Also joining us is Greg Lenz, and he brought a Romney cheerleader, Hannah. Hannah's hanging out too. So we've got a full little crowd of people here just hanging out, talking.
Live on Google Plus.
Live on Google Plus. So if any of you still have any clue what that means.
The second most popular social network in the world.
We'll address that in a moment. First, we want to say thanks to everybody who listens. We did the math this week on how many listeners we have.
By we mean Chris.
By me. So I went and I looked at the math. And we have over 300 people listening to this podcast every single week. And we joke about having tens of listeners. That is like tens of listeners. Legitimately.
Yeah, but it doesn't
like
tell you that.
Tens of listeners to a factor of 10.
We're in the hundreds of listeners at this point.
It doesn't tell you that 200 of them, you know, listen to the first 5 seconds and turn it off.
No, that's true, but we won't talk about that.
Well, it's going to change now. We got a like baby making music song starting our podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's going to boost our ratings. Thanks, Joe.
So we want to thank everybody for listening. We've actually added 150 new listeners just in the months of January since we came back. We started WeAreLibertarians.com, and that has kind of launched the amount of listeners. So we're truly humbled. Like Chris Galt said, we really just kind of thought that it'd be just the five of us, and if we could get Travis Wyke and Jesse Riddle to listen, then we'd be lucky. So thank you very much for listening. We greatly appreciate it. This week, we're going to start with Danny the Deer. We're going to talk about immigration. We're going to talk about guns, because Chris, I know Creighton's had an A-full of, we're on Indiana Talk, so I'm trying to clean up my language. Creighton's had an A-full of gun chat, but we haven't let.
Why would it be an A-full?
And
even then, it doesn't make, no one says that.
Everyone says that.
Everyone says that, because I'm cool. I'm Chris Spangle.
That implies something far. That implies something far different than hearing something too much.
I'm on a millennial generation podcast, and I'm just on the fringe edges of the outside.
Listen.
That was redundant.
I was saying it's full before it was cool, all right?
You mean, like, right now?
So, before the podcast, I We learned that there were some elephants outside.
Yes, the most important story for us to cover this week is breaking news.
Well, elephants can't survive in the cold.
There was a
It's like 20 degrees outside.
There was
right
a
now.
50 car pileup on I-70 today.
Oh,
it was
man.
A 50 car pileup.
That doesn't
on
happen.
I-70.
It's like, I think the Blues Brothers just went through town.
And so it was a 50 car pileup. It was snowing. The weather was insane today. I worked downtown and we kept looking out the window and it'd be sunny.
It was
and
drunk.
Then,
the weather was
and
drunk.
The weather was go home whether you're drunk. And you'd look out the window and it'd be torrential snow. And then it'd be light snow, and then it'd be bright and sunny, and then it'd be back to thunder snow, and it just was insane. At some point in that weather, it got a little icy on I-70, and a bunch of trucks collided into each other, cars. It just was
50
it,
of them.
It was a Blues Brothers pileup. Well,
you
just,
know, they interviewed a Canadian truck driver. In the wreck.
Was it in a planned attack spangle?
Can you repeat that, Creighton?
The news interviewed a Canadian truck driver.
I'm just going to let that sink in.
Said
Canadian
it was, said
truck
it was
driver.
His first wreck.
First wreck coming down the Great White Menace of the North has come down to I-70 and wrecked 50 of our cars.
With a half an inch of snow, and he's from Canada.
You kind of think about how random it is that we had a 50-car pileup in Indianapolis, Indiana, with freaking elephants.
Yeah. So we're sitting here, and I get a text from Fox 59 that says, elephants loose on I-70. Not necessarily something you see in, I'm not even going to say Indiana, more like India. You might see that every once in a while.
That needs to be in the Indy Star tomorrow. They need to frame that and stick it in the visitor center at the top of City County building.
When I saw it, I seriously...
For everyone to see forever.
I seriously thought it was like a news alert from Breaking News, the app, and it was from India. I was like, why am I getting a breaking news about elephants loose on some highway in India?
And like, it's like every day.
Wait, this is right nearby.
It says Indiana on I-70. And Hannah pulled up on her phone the picture of the elephants and their big dumpy ass, and as they're being lined up to get back into a truck. I don't even know what it was about, but it was amusing.
Well,
so
we are 10 minutes into our podcast, and we
haven't
all
right.
talked. All the new listeners. So, did you say you wanted to talk gun control first?
No, I said we wanted to talk about it last because everyone's had.
Ladies and gentlemen, new listeners, welcome to We Are Libertarians. First up, elephants.
If you're looking for serious talk, then Off the Air Live. Cody does a great job of giving you serious content. Us, not as much. First up is Danny the Deer. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen, are familiar with Danny the Deer? Who knew that the first test of incoming Governor Mike Pence, who knew his first test would be a deer? So here's the story. This couple, they're in Connersville, Indiana. They're the counselors. The husband is a police officer. I'm not sure what the wife does. And a couple of years ago, they saw a deer out in the Connersville. Connersville is a rural area of Indiana. And they saw a deer being attacked by coyotes. And so they fended off the coyotes, which I mean, if I see a deer getting attacked by coyotes, I'm not really necessarily a manly man. So I'd say, hey, Bambi, I'll say a prayer. Maybe I'll send a priest over the last rites, but you're on your own. I'm not taking on coyotes.
That's funny. Well, you're a libertarian. That means you're packing heat, and you can just shoot the coyotes.
I've never...
My dad would just break out his shotgun.
I'm the worst libertarian ever. I've never drank, I've never done drugs, and I've never fired a gun.
What?
Ever.
Spangle?
Yeah. You're like the worst American ever.
This is America. I've been to Walmart a bunch. So we're...
Oh, my God.
Even they smoke cigarettes like crazy.
So this couple goes out and they save this deer. They bring it in inside. They nurse it back to health. The deer is like the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. It's like this beautiful little deer, and they keep it for a couple of years. And the deer apparently loves it because he gets all the carrots. Hey, what do deers eat? Deer. They don't eat venison.
No.
It's got all the venison it could eat, and it was warm and cozy.
That's why they're in the news. It wasn't because they were trying to nurse a deer back to health. It's because they're sick.
Like, it's like the deer version of Saw. So
what? Oh my God.
Jeff Keltzer walks in with a mask with the little circles around his eyes. So they somehow, some DNR agent, Department of Natural Resources, finds out about this wild deer that's living with this couple, And they go and they bust them and they take the deer and they release the deer into the wild. And the deer doesn't know what to do. So it kind of goes and walks around and then it'll mosey back up to their fence and like look over the fence and say, you know, hey, homeboy, can I have some carrots? And then wanders back off after a while. And the prosecutor has charged them with it was a felony, and now last I heard it was a misdemeanor. And so now it's a misdemeanor charge of, harboring wildlife, which is a crime in Indiana. I mean,
it's because the DNR are, forgive me, but DNR are Nazis.
They are.
They are probably the most.
Put that mic up to your face.
They're probably the most overzealous department in Indiana.
Why would you say that?
They're awful. It's like they get their jollies out of taking people's stuff. I mean, if you have a misprint on your fishing license, they'll take your boat. I mean, I don't know how it is in other states, but here
it's bad. Here
they're like the kid who got bullied when he was little, and now he's revenge on everybody.
This guy's in law enforcement, and it's like a tale of several different counties. The thing took place in Fayette County, and the judge is from Union County, and it's like this whole triangle of counties. So the jurisdiction isn't even totally right. And it's just a complete waste of taxpayer money. It's almost gotten to the point where it's a vendetta. And you have to wonder how much of the fact, like, he's in law enforcement. So along the way, somewhere, he probably pissed somebody off. So they're coming back after him because they found their opportunity, because one time he, you know, flipped off a judge's wife or something. So
isn't it good, though, that we have a group of people protecting us from these sick individuals who are taking animals up and nursing them back to health?
Yes.
I mean, this is a terrible world. Thank God we are protected from these sickos.
So compassion is apparently illegal. Chris, what are your thoughts on this? Thank you. All right, Greg, what do you think about this story?
It's absolutely ridiculous is what it is. I mean, for all Pence right. to be sworn in, and this is the first thing he has to deal with. Like, I think he came out today and he said that they were acting within, you know, the bounds of the law and doing their job. But I can't imagine him not just saying, calling up the prosecutor and be like, get rid of this, you know, get this out of the press, or saying, you know what, pay the fine, blah 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 blah, and then him be the hero and walk in and give him a pardon or something.
Well, people
like that.
People like Brian Bosma, the House Speaker here in Indiana, are calling for a pardon. And this does present an interesting question for libertarians, because this is an overreach. This is a little too much. The public is highly in favor of these people getting away with it. But the law is the law. The law is very clear. And the prosecutor is also in a difficult spot. As much as he's been lampooned, the fact is that these people broke the law. And so what does he do as a prosecutor? Say, it's okay to break the law. We're just going to look the other way just because it's unpopular. I mean, so the question for libertarians is, do you follow the rule of law, or do you give in to public pressure and say this is a stupid, stupid answer?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Rule of law? Well, it only applies if a law is just, and that's not a just law. I mean, Mike Pence should pardon them, and they should nullify the law. That should be we're in Indiana. We're not in New York, and that shouldn't be a problem here. Harboring a wild animal.
The prosecutor could either
keep the mics by
the prosecutor mouth. Could either stick it at the bottom of the pile, or he could could pick a jury for their trial and then tell them all to do jury
like
nullification.
I don't like that, either of those.
You don't like jury nullification?
I love jury nullification, but right, the government needs to do something about this.
This is an interesting
point.
He's
the prosecutor. He is part of the government.
The prosecutor is part of the government.
Putting it at the bottom of the pile isn't doing anything.
This is something that libertarians have often raised. If you don't find a law that is acceptable, then you can nullify that law. And it's actually in the Indiana Constitution. It's Article 1, Section 19 of Indiana's Constitution. And it says, in all criminal cases, in all criminal cases, whatever the jury shall have the right to determine the law and the facts. And our friend Rex Bell out in Wayne County writes, it simply means that if you are on a jury, you get to judge the law, not just the defendant. If a law is so bad that it would send a person to jail for demonstrating an act of compassion, you can find the defendant not guilty. It's just that simple. Is this a case where we could enact jury nullification, or What this is a conundrum for libertarians. So you, Chris Gault, just been made ruler of Indiana. What do you do?
Whoa. I'm ruler of Indiana?
Yes.
Well, I disband the government.
Okay.
And I let us all live in a great governmentless society.
Our friend Hannah. Hannah's new here. She's a friend of a friend. She's from the apartment complex. And she's a Republican. She wore a Romney shirt tonight on purpose. She's like the female Chris Gault. She's here for provocation. So I'm going. So
is that the only reason I'm here?
When he says yes to start fights. Oh. So when he says disband the government, she basically just, I've never seen a person's head sink so low. And
all right, I won't. I'll relate it back to this thing.
Okay.
I dismiss the charges. I'd have the charges dismissed on him, on all of them. I mean.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Creighton?
I mean, what else do you
I
want?
I mean, if I was made ruler of Indiana.
Ruler of Indiana.
Right.
Creighton Harrington.
After you make laws on...
If I made ruler of Indiana with the stipulation that I make one decision on this one particular issue and that's it. I mean, yeah, I would do the same thing.
Ignore alcohol, tobacco, firearms, women, men.
Women?
Ignore all that.
Honestly, the simplest answer would be to pardon it. But I mean, you could if the prosecutor was so bold, which I don't ever assume he would be, or she, or whoever it is, do the jury nullification thing, get that in the news, because then people will talk about that.
But if you're the governor, do you really want to start undermining local prosecutors? I mean, Mike Pence is.
If Creighton's the governor,
yes. But this is a governor who, when Rupert discussed in the debates criminal justice reform, Mike Pence made it clear that he was a law and order type of guy, and that if you commit a crime in Indiana, it's going to be terrible for you, and there will be no mercy, because I'm that type of guy. I mean, he's not necessarily the guy who I think would sit there and say, I'm going to undermine prosecutors. So what do you do? Our token Republican libertarian, Greg Lenz, what do you do?
Oh, you pardon him. Absolutely. You can't say they're doing their job, they're enforcing the law, and we're going to make this guy pay a $2,000 fine and have a misdemeanor on his record because he rehabilitated a deer. When he's got presidential aspirations, and this is the kind of thing you don't want hanging around your neck. They're going to have dead deers at his presidential run. I mean, it's not something feasible all. He'll pardon it. He'll pardon him, or I bet the prosecutor will dismiss the charges.
What do you guys think the...
Thank you, Jesse Riddle, by the way, for sending me whatdodeerseat.com.
Okay.
TLDR.
Kind of made my serious point not very good now.
All right, what'd you say? I missed
nothing.
It.
Well, I mean, awesome. All right. Do you guys, what do you guys think the police department's mission statement is?
Protect and serve.
Protect and serve.
Yeah.
And to throw as many innocent people in jail as possible.
It actually has nothing. They don't have. Law enforcement is not bound to protect anyone.
Put that mic up to your mouth there.
Okay.
Thank you.
The only thing, what their mission statement actually says is to uphold the law, to enforce the law.
Take an oath. The Oath Keepers.
Well, right. So, where I was going with this is he said that they can't just enforce the law, but that's their job. That's what they have to do. That's what it says they have to do in their rules. It's what they swear to uphold, that they'll enforce the law. So, I mean...
They don't do that, though, all the time.
I mean, yeah.
How many times do they give a warning for a speeding ticket?
But that's what's wrong with it.
They have leniency.
Is that they don't... If you get pulled over and you're speeding and breaking the law, you should get a ticket. If they did that, we wouldn't have speed limits anymore.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I'd say. Okay, you've got the pardon, which is constitutionally allowed, and if I were Mike Pence, I would pardon them. But this is also something that I had lunch with a lawyer the other day, and they said, you know, when I was a kid, back in the 1880s, they would you would get into trouble.
Whoa, where did you...
Who was
very this
elderly,
lawyer?
Very elderly. he practiced youth law. So he, I don't know. He was saying that when he was a kid...
My friend Benjamin Harrison.
When he was a kid in the 50s and 60s...
He was dead by then.
If you got into trouble in Columbus, Indiana, the prosecutor would say, you know, you've been stewing for 3 days, thinking that you're going to go to jail. You've been miserable, thinking that I'm going to charge you. I want you to think of that feeling every time you think about doing something wrong. That, and then he'd let them go. And I think the internet has made this sort of phenomenon kind of happen a lot, is that people are worried that if they just are a little bit easy, then, you know, it's going to get publicized that they're soft on crime, or, you know, especially in local towns, they have a lot of rumor mills where people start to talk and it becomes an issue, especially for people with political aspirations. But it's not necessarily looking the other way. It's just using common sense. And
so wait a minute. Are we going to say that a guy not prosecuting a couple that nursed a deer back to health is going to be called soft on crime?
Listen, in today's environment, anything could be spun into anything.
No,
I mean,
no,
I'm pretty sure that Richard Murdoch commanded God to rape women at this point. I don't really
know.
What is the penalty for this crime?
$2,000. $2,000 fine. Like, Greg,
and they lost the deer.
Yeah, they took their deer, so no more venison.
No, it escaped. Like, they opened up the gate and it walked out.
Oh, did
out.
They?
Yeah, they just, the guy came and was like, well, I'm going to come back and I'm going to euthanize the deer. And so when he came back, they just left the gate open and they were like, we don't know what happened.
They left the gate open. The deer slowly walked away. Yeah. Turned its head around. Shed a tear, and then sappy music started playing on the radio.
You're saying there's an investigation. That means that you can't have the deer, but you let it go? How dare you?
Yeah, they're investigating right now because they think it's fraud. So theoretically, more charges could be pressed.
Do they need to find the deer?
Huh?
Do they have to still find it?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
They do.
Oh, my God.
They brought in Columbo.
How is it fraud? Was it a fake deer? Hey, was it a fake deer? How is it fraud?
They lied about letting it get out.
Oh.
I would think that the deer Columbo would look like that guy in the overalls on Moonshiners.
I could just see, like, a South Park episode over this, man.
I know.
This is so ridiculous. They bring in, like, the crocodile hunter to find
the bounty hunter.
Dog the bounty hunter comes in. His
smelling
wife.
Dishes.
Freaking Rambo comes to find the deer.
It's like all of a sudden he's peeing in the woods. So,
well,
yeah.
We talk about something else. I'm
this is
the deer.
And this brings up another point, too, to carry on the conversation to make Creighton mad. There is a problem when everything is illegal. When things start to become, they just start criminalizing so many things. It's a crime in Indianapolis to sell your own car. Indiana talks, you can't sell your car. You can't put a for sale sign in your car and then just park it on the corner and say for sale. That's against the law. Spitting on the sidewalk is against the law. There is a show on Indiana Talks called Technically That's Illegal. It's also a book about Marion, Indiana. Ann Satterley wrote this book. She was on John Stossel. And she talked about reading the entire code of Marion, Indiana, and she couldn't believe the stuff that was illegal. Like, I forget what the example was, but it was like trash can lids were illegal. It was crazy. So check out Technically That's Illegal, because that was a fascinating look in an Indiana town that had some ridiculous laws. And they're in every town, so...
I've heard they have these funny, like, I think one is like, you can't hunt whales in Nebraska.
I swear to God, or some landlocked state has, like, you can't hunt whales.
Well, just look at the stuff that goes on in the Indiana General Assembly now. Like, they're trying to make sure that you have to be taught cursive until middle school. Like,
That is an example of why you need to not use public schools.
Or now if you get arrested, you have to give your DNA.
Yeah, well, that's more serious than, you know...
No, it's the same thing. It's stupid.
So,
don't you think the biggest problem with this, though, is it's a deer? It's if it was a bear or a shark,
yeah,
people would be like, kill it. Who cares? But because it's a deer, it's this huge political nightmare.
Well, people have tigers.
If it was a bear, they would bring the Discovery Channel in to make a TV show about it. About the couple that lived with a bear.
Right.
Because it's a deer, it's hitting everybody's heartstring. I wouldn't be surprised if some guy just goes shows Bambi to everybody.
No, there's one photo of this.
They march on the Capitol building.
There's one photo of this deer, and it's impossibly cute. I mean, it's just insanely, it's like, I'd never have thought deers were cute until you see this one deer, and you're like, oh, it looks like mittens. So, all right. Well, let's move on from Danny the Deer.
It didn't look like mittens either.
And if you want to read a little bit more, we've got a couple blog posts about this. One is a case that's similar to this. It's Phyllis Kozinski versus the Sweetwater Conservancy District. That actually had property rights implications for everybody in Indiana, but because it didn't involve any cute wildlife, nobody paid attention to it. So go to Weird Libertarians and check out that article. Up next is immigration reform. We're going to talk a little bit about that. That was one of the hot topics. And I have a feeling that this room will probably greatly differ on immigration. Maybe, maybe not. But let's talk to Greg first, because Greg is the one who actually prepared on this topic. So we're going to let Greg fill us in and tell us what happened on immigration reform this week.
All right, just like the 10-second breakdown is the Democrats want the DREAM Act, where it's amnesty, essentially. Everyone gets full citizenship rights. What Marco Rubio is leading for the Republicans is a path to citizenship, where you're a legal resident for 5 years and you're going to have to pass background checks, pay back taxes, a bunch of different qualifications to satisfy, taking like a civics course on the U.S., and then you'll be eligible to become a citizen. But it poses a pretty big problem with Obamacare, because if I got it wrong when I was talking to you guys earlier. You are required to purchase health insurance if you're on that path. And so it adds about, I think it was $37 million a year.
Even before you're a citizen?
Yeah, before you're a citizen, you're still required to purchase it. And when you buy it, you don't get any federal subsidies. So you're out the whole pocket, even if you don't make very much money.
Ooh.
Whereas with the president's plan, you get the subsidies, but you're still required either way.
That sounds rough.
So it's sort of like a delayed.
I hope the program's full of Canadians.
it's pretty much the same bills that have been kicked around for the last 20 years.
Yeah. I firmly believe that immigration is broken because the federal government runs it.
Agreed.
Thank you, Creighton.
That's a cop-out answer. The issue is not.
No.
You could give that answer to everything.
I think it's broken because it's such a it's a voting base.
Right.
So, I mean, it's two parties battling over who's going to get the Hispanic vote.
But what do you think about the bill?
I haven't read it.
He just told you about it. Well, what are your reactions to
based upon that? Based upon that, I mean, just on the Obamacare part, I mean, that's just another way to make it so that nobody wants to be a legal immigrant.
Right. Why is Marco Rubio forcing illegals to buy Obamacare?
Because maybe it'll make them upset about Obamacare and the Democratic Party, and therefore they'll go to the Republicans, since that's what they want. They want this whole issue. I mean, I'll hand it in a second, but the main issue here is Obama's pushed for gun control. I don't know if he thought about it or not, but it's a losing issue for Democrats. It would make the Senate lose, or it'd make the Senate go red. It'd make a bunch of House members lose. So in order to correct that, they're saying, look at the shiny object in my other hand, which is this immigration reform, killing two birds with one stone. Not only do they kind of avert attention away from the terribly, terribly crafted and, you know, the one that just got destroyed, dead on arrival, they called it, the Feinstein bill. So they're distracting away from that, and at the same time, they're trying to take the very open direction that the Republican Party was trying to go and say, we're going to try and get the Hispanic vote. They're saying, well, at the same time, we're going to take the Hispanic vote away from the Republicans, and that will make them more Democrats. And so they're trying to kill two birds with one stone. So that's the point. Rubio's trying, obviously, I think it sounds like he's trying to counteract that by saying, well, we'll make them hate Obamacare, therefore they'll hate Democrats.
Greg?
The big hang-up on that is he will not let – the Republicans won't sign anything where they're eligible for any Obamacare subsidies at all the first year. So, like, they can't get any federal benefits at all, and so that'll kill it. The president, I bet, will give ground on it, and he'll be like, okay, well, they still have to purchase, but we won't give them subsidies. But I see it differently as far as the politics of it. I don't see how Republicans win at all on this. Uh-uh. No way will the Latinos ever vote Republican in a massive base. I just don't ever see it happening.
Even if they came out and they were for amnesty, you don't think they'd ever get that base back?
I never, ever,
the
ever.
Majority. I mean, you can't paint with a broad brush.
I don't think they'd ever get more than 60%, or I don't think they'd ever get more than 40% of the Latino voting base. I think it's just, it's a lose. It's they're desperate. The last election scared them, in my opinion.
Well, I think there's also, you know, a lot of young people who care less about immigration. The millennial generation, for example, is 40%, you know, mixed race. And that is, and let's not kid ourselves, race plays an enormous factor in this discussion. Our friends down in the Libertarian Party of Georgia, the executive director down there is named Brett Bittner. Brett goes out on radio all the time, and he gets asked about immigration all the time. And, you know, the Libertarian Party is probably 60-70% full of open borders people. That nationalism is something that is not necessary in this day and age, and that it's a problem. And so he says, you know, I don't really have a problem with amnesty. I don't understand why we wouldn't want, you know, a free flow of people over our borders back and forth as long as there are security checks. And he gets these emails from people, you know, the great non-white hordes are invading our country and they're going to take over. And it's like, first of all, buddy, immigration has incredibly slowed, and it's actually starting, we're starting to lose more people than gain as far as immigration and emigration, I-N-E, go. And a lot of it has to do with our economy and job opportunities in emerging markets in places like Brazil and India and China and the other BRIC countries.
I would say I probably agree for the most part on the lose-lose situation Republicans are facing. And I think another reason that that's going to happen is because it's so transparent what they're trying to do. I mean, it's so obvious that they're trying to just pander to the Hispanic base to try and get some more of them on their side. And I feel like when you're so openly, you know, pandering, that they're kind of just like, ugh. And they just say, ugh, get away from me, man.
Sheep slut.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I think that's what they're risking going after. And I mean, I still think they're going to try and push Rubio hard because he has the Hispanic background. But no, I mean, yeah, the Republican...
I don't think it's necessarily they are pushing him. I think he sees an opening politically to kind of stand out against, you know, Rand Paul, who can merge all the various, you know, center-right coalitions of libertarians, Tea Partiers, establishment Republicans, versus a Chris Christie, who is sort of the new John McCain maverickery Republican out there, you know, hanging out with Zuckerberg. And this is a way for Marco Rubio to distinguish himself.
No, I think so. I'm just saying, in general, the kind of like party players have been, I mean, you can just tell that they've been leaning towards like a Marco Rubio kind of guy to be the one that they would kind of be okay with. You know, they'll push him as the conservative guy, but they just like him because he's got the Hispanic background, and they've been very open that that's the base they're trying to convert to Republicans to address the fact that only old white dudes vote Republican anymore.
Well, there's a young white girl over there. She votes Republican, but well, she's like the only one.
The thing is it's a losing issue because
I see Hannah someday with like one of those giant old pink hats with all the buttons.
There are more women Republicans than women Libertarians.
That
by
is true.
Far.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, we're actually going to bring on Pepper Snyder. She does a show on Indiana Talks, and she's Pepper's huge on Twitter, and mostly because she just makes fun of every Republican on Twitter. It's hilarious. To the point where she gets banned a lot. So we're going to have her on to talk about why there are no female libertarians, because it's like a sausage fest.
Switch roles. I haven't gotten to say anything about immigration.
We're not switching roles.
I liked exactly what Brett Bittner said. Immigration was one of the last libertarian ideas that I would accept. Or anarchist
ideas,
I guess,
see that
I would accept.
Did everyone see that gesture that Spangle just made? Everyone see that?
I have to apologize to our listeners because these two haven't mastered mic technique yet.
Well, normally we have mic stands, I don't have to hold it up like this.
Taking your training wheels off, and all of a sudden you're like, they have the mics down by their belly buttons. And so
I'm sorry.
I made a motion to move the microphone closer to your mouth, and that apparently got some giggles from the people over here who are immature.
All right, so Brett articulated what I wanted to say exactly. You just said it for me. I used to be real American. I have a Dodge truck. I have a gun. I'm pretty American.
Isn't Dodge owned by an Italian company?
I have a 1996 Dodge Ram. So, but anyway, I did a lot of thought about it, I guess.
I did. And lots of thought. I thought
no,
long,
no,
hard.
No, stop. And nationalism is a problem. It's not good for the economy. Foreign countries competing with our country would help a lot.
Yeah.
With this nationalism and tariffs and all that,
it hurts.
That's assuming everyone's playing by the rules, though. Like that's the problem with it.
What's the problem with it?
For instance, nationalism is good in the current climate. Like South Korea didn't have a car industry. What'd they do? Huge tariffs, let their car companies build themselves up, protect them from competition. Now they make some of the top cars in the world.
And
to do that, they had to remove the Korean consumers' ability to buy other things that they wanted more.
They did.
And it's protectionism. Protectionism always results in a net negative loss for consumers and for essentially the tax base. Because I mean, if Korean consumers wanted Korean cars, or if the world wanted Korean cars, and then they would have made Korean cars without the importation or without tariffs.
A tariff is when a country puts
tax
on imported goods.
I mean, this is something that's been like, I mean, free market economists tend to disagree on a lot, but this is one that's kind of unanimously agreed on, that free trade always works better than anything else, regardless of whether or not one country has favorable laws and another doesn't. Free trade always works better. Having one country that is completely, free market, and let's say they even go further, they're not completely free, they debase their currency so that in the short run it boosts their exports without increasing imports, people would say that they're cheating, that they're making it so that our country wants to buy their stuff more because it's cheaper to them, and our homegrown businesses are losing out. Well, in the long run, the country that's debasing their currency is going to lose out. But in the short run, it's helping out the American consumer because they have more money left over to purchase other goods that would therefore probably be made in America. So I don't agree at all with the idea that that we should restrict free trade or in labor or in goods. Because other countries don't have a similar legal structure on the import and exportation of
Alabama,
goods.
And this is a limitation on labor. Alabama passed passed legislation similar to what Senator Mike Delf here in Indiana passed, which was to limit the amount of illegal immigrants that could work here. They had to use E-Verify. It eventually got shelter in Indiana because most of the Republicans said, that's sort of a 10th Amendment issue, and this is like the one time the Republicans actually followed through in the 10th Amendment about how to heart attack. So it was what happened in Alabama when they passed these anti-immigration laws, they couldn't find anybody to work in the fields. There was a huge labor shortage. There still is. And they had significant issues with the field workers, with the field hands. And when you have these strict immigration laws, what happens, you create a permanent underclass of people who will work for less and will do whatever they have to do to not get caught, to not get sent back to a country where they either don't have the same opportunities or it's just flat out dangerous. Would you want to live in Juarez, Mexico at the moment? And we have to fix our immigration system and make it easier. I don't think I'm an open borders guy. I honestly haven't sat down and spent a lot of time thinking about this.
You are.
I probably will end up being one of those people, but that seems to happen a lot. You start thinking out, I'm for America, and then you end up going, I don't care.
That's
screw the government.
I started, I'm for America, and then I'm like, well, free trade makes sense. And well, if free trade makes sense, why doesn't free transportation make sense?
I would say
live where you want to live.
I would say under the
Move,
current
go
setup,
where you go.
Under the current setup, I would say that we could. I mean, I haven't done a huge amount of thinking about it either, but under the current setup, I would think that pretty much open borders to the point where you come through and I mean, if you're carrying an AK-47 with a bomb attached to your trailer, then okay, we're
usually not that clear.
We might pull a background check on that guy. Yeah, we might pull a background check on that guy.
But is that all you think is going to happen to that guy?
Yeah,
yeah. That's true. When he says background check, he doesn't mean his.
He
background.
Means spend your rest of your life in a federal prison
but,
with no trial.
But anyway, I would say that for the most part, yeah, there's under the current setup, just reducing it to the point where people have as little hurdles to jump to become a citizen as possible would be great. But I do have to say, just because I'm the philosophy guy,
the economics guy,
that under an ANCAP system, you would have very strict borders, like to the point where you could have people trapped in their own homes because it's all property rights. So if everyone privately owned the land, like the roads were even privately owned.
Well, it doesn't mean there wouldn't be corporations that would buy up strips of land.
No, that doesn't. So that people could try. But it also doesn't mean that there won't be corporations, and that therefore a person who,
well, if the market demands it,
isn't that called Monsanto?
If the person's trapped in their home and they're willing to pay someone to build a road to their home, I mean,
I'm just trying to point out that
the market would bring them a road.
No, I'm trying to point out that in a system where you have absolute property right over your land, that means you have the absolute property right to exclude people from using it. And if, let's say, some unfortunate fellow who maybe upset a lot of people in his neighborhood decided that he wanted to leave his house, and every one of his neighbors said, "No, you can't cross my land." He would be trapped. It'd be Pretoria, yeah. So I would say that under a legitimate, like, you know, the perfect world of a stateless society, you would have very, very strict immigration control. But under this one, I think opening the borders up is okay.
I don't know if I could ever be a full open borders, there are no rules type of person, because that's just not going to happen in a lifetime, and it's not rational. But I do think there is, because you do have to have a system of measurement, you do have to know who's an American and who is not an American.
Why?
Because they have to pay taxes.
Why?
Because
not everybody wants Red Dawn Galt.
But no, this is actually a point that's worth making.
Okay.
Thank you, Grant.
The only reason,
it is 40 minutes into the podcast.
If we got rid of the welfare state and the minimum wage law, I highly doubt anyone would give a crap about immigration unless they were racist or nationalists or nativists. Because let's face it, people don't like illegal immigration because they'll work for less than the minimum wage, or they'll work less than whatever somebody considers a living wage, and therefore they get their jobs undercut. And at the same time, there's this fear that they'll take out of the welfare state. Well, if you don't have a welfare state, then that fear is gone. So I think the point that they have to pay taxes is kind of lost on the whole free trade argument, because taxes are the antithesis of the market. So I would be...
talking about what is or what should be? I mean, that's...
No.
That's the difference of what we're talking about.
Okay, here. So... I don't know. I mean,
the only other thing I can think of is overcrowded, overpopulation, and
which
that's
can't
not
happen.
Happen.
Yeah, because you can fit the whole world in Texas.
Yeah.
And, no, you literally can. Yeah. There's enough land in Texas to fit every single
Texas.
Yeah, there's enough land in Texas to fit every single person on the planet.
Let's talk to our Republican friend over there. Let's talk to Hannah.
Hello.
She's a Republican. Why do you hate Mexicans?
I don't hate Mexicans.
You do hate Mexicans.
I don't. I'm not racist. Not like you libertarians apparently are.
Oh. So what is your opinion?
Whoa.
What is your opinion?
Well, that escalated quickly.
I know. What is your opinion on immigration? What would you like to see from your 2016 contender?
I kind of agree with Marco Rubio's plan. I don't want to give like full-blown amnesty right away and just say, hey, yeah, you broke the law, you came in here, yeah, let's just grant you citizenship. I don't agree with that in the slightest. My grandfather came over here and he worked his butt off to become a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that fact. Now I realize packing them all up and shipping them all back to Mexico.
Who's they? Why'd you have to say that?
Huh. Fine, packing up and sending all the
you people
sending all the illegal immigrants back to Mexico or whatever country they're from.
From whence they came, the Queen's English, please.
Is not gonna work, but it's just not possible at all right now with the amount of illegals we have. However, giving them like a plan to become a citizen is fine with me, as long as they actually have to do something and prove themselves. And I think military service should be involved.
She's here to support Greg Lenz.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a cheerleader for the Republican.
Sure. I'm always in the minority here. Always.
Yes.
You know, because I actually like, you know, getting to govern from time to time.
I know, right? Isn't that awesome?
No, I have a question for Galt, and that is, do you think there's something that's culturally American? Because this is where I differ from, like, your ideas of just open borders, everything like that. I am a nationalist. I do like believe there is an American cultural
hot dogs
ideal.
And hamburgers and
let us all please note that the man with the bald head in the room said he's a nationalist.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So you're asking me if I see like the American? What is American?
You don't think there are like a set of American cultural norms?
Sure, there are cultural norms everywhere.
Okay, there are cultural norms,
and those
in
aren't
Indiana.
those aren't worth conserving. And here's great.
So if we opened our border, we wouldn't have cultural values anymore. I mean,
that is a hard point to make. It is hard to make the point.
Millions
you're trying
of to make. Arabs from the Middle East would just flock to America and take over our culture.
For instance, Greg, here in Indiana, we have open borders between states, and here in Indiana, we have a culture of obesity, trans fats, corn.
It's hard to make the point you're trying to
Walmart.
Make.
Exactly.
Culture is organic. It kind of just emerges out of people independent of government. Using government to protect it kind of proves that it's not really culture anymore, and it's kind of lost. I mean, I agree
it's a
social thing. I agree that there are things that are identifiably American, but I don't think it requires the government for those to exist.
Yeah, there's like three questions that I was going to answer, and Creighton's answered them all this podcast.
Well,
we'll go on.
You're fired. All right, but this is your time. What?
So do you guys hear? Why can't Mitt Romney screw in a light bulb?
Why?
Because he doesn't know which way to turn.
Oh, boom.
Pro-life or pro-choice? Pro-gun or anti-gun?
Let's move on. Let's move on to guns. This is Chris Galt's time to shine.
Oh, is it?
This is
really?
Your time to shine. He's been taking notes diligently throughout the episode. He has several legal pages of notes to share with us. He brought
not really
color-by-number infographs from the NRA.
I didn't even
He tore out pages from the NRA coloring book.
He's got like a full-fledged president. You guys can't. He's off camera, but he's got like his easel up and everything over here.
Go ahead, Chris. Oh, do you need this?
Well, I mean, what
are you reading? Are you reading all of them?
I'm not going to read anything. You want me to argue for gun rights? Then
should you?
Why don't you start with
Chris Galt,
description of the event today?
I'll just start with gun control.
Proud new owner of a weapon.
Oh, I am
a killing device.
I am.
And you want to take your killing device onto a college campus where there are many innocent, non-carrying people who, you know, you might get mad.
There was another school
them.
Shooting today.
I know. It's really kind of sad. There has been
a lot.
I'm joking.
And
but there's
I
been,
want to carry my gun on campus.
I'm joking. But it wasn't sad. It's not a laughing matter.
I
want
to carry more than, like, anything. Any other issue right now doesn't mean anything
but you
to me
can't,
compared to that.
You cannot carry on IEP.
I cannot.
Right. Okay. Why should you be allowed to take your weapon onto the IUPUI college campus? Give us a reasoned, rational, logical explanation of why.
America.
There are so many different ways I could go. I could say, the Second Amendment, I have the right to bear arms. You can't infringe that right, period.
Where do you
That's
find
what
these,
it says in the Second
why do
Amendment.
You, where do you find these
I
bear
could
arms?
Say, the state of Indiana. You
how could that be misconstrued? Bear arms, it says it right in it. Everyone has a right to a bear arm on their wall.
I could say that there is no state law that says I can't carry my firearm on school property. It is a school code,
okay,
by my school. So that is a educational institution making a law. In their area, in their I guess it's the jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have their own police force.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are many different arguments I could use for that.
Continue to
but,
make them.
But the irony of the gun control debate is it has to be enforced with a gun. I mean, Obama can't take your guns without a gun. He can't. I mean, what got me today was we did a gun control pass the mic. Creighton was there. And
explain that to all the
I
people
group,
over the age of 23.
I run a group on campus. I'm the vice president called Democracy Plaza, and we do these. We pick issues, political issues, and let students debate.
Way back in my day, we had Democracy Plaza.
Yeah?
We did.
The chalkboards?
The chalkboards, and we had a picnic table.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
well, it's gotten a little bigger now.
All right,
I'm in charge, so.
All right.
Yeah.
And so what did you do today? You had a pass
yes.
the mic event?
Yes, you got me off track. So someone said, well, no one should have the right to carry a firearm with them. They can have it in their homes to protect themselves, but there's never a reason to carry it around.
Right.
And, well, the first thing that went through my head was, well, he said everyone, and then does he mean police officers as well?
Right.
But, of course, he doesn't. He doesn't mean, well, they're trained with weapons, so they can do that. That's
right.
Their job. And the president should have bodyguards because that comes with the job. We don't need bodyguards.
Did you see the guy after this is related. The guy after they made the point that the NRA released the ad about how Obama thinks that he could get bodyguards with guns, but you don't get to use gun to protect your family. Some guy, yeah, some guy from like Slate or Salon or The Nation or some I don't know, some left guy said, yeah, Obama's kids are more important than you. That he does get his he does get to have guns and you don't, because his kids are more important. Yeah, just all right. Continue.
You, but man, that I just after I saw that ad, it was all over the news, and all of the liberal media was like bashing it and talking about how disrespectful the NRA was being, and how is that? How is what you just said?
Swear to God.
I don't even see how people can have that.
I think it was Matt Iglesias. I think it was
Matt Iglesias.
I don't even remember where I was going.
Sorry.
Anyway, guns. Okay. So if guns are the safest, or if gun control works, then why isn't Chicago and D.C. the safest place in America? Why isn't Detroit safe?
Because they can.
Why isn't California safe?
They can just go to the next. They can come to Indiana to buy the guns and go back to Chicago.
Right.
Why is Indiana's
crime
rate,
which is actually not true.
Why when there was a gunshot downtown last week in Indianapolis, everyone freaked out because we never have gunshots.
Well,
if that happened in Chicago, it wouldn't even have made the news.
Well, when they hit 500, it makes the news. It's true. And then they asked Jesse Jackson why they 500. There was one, I think. Usually it makes the news in Chicago when, like, 10 people get killed in one night. I'm not even kidding. Whenever 10 people die in Chicago in a night, you'll hear about it. But, yeah, whenever it's one person, you don't hear about
it. It's bad.
Well, another thing is that Indiana, to our credit, Indianapolis has one of the top-rated homicide departments in the country. So,
the majority of the murders and gun deaths, especially here in Indianapolis, it's all gang-related.
Oh, and that's most of them.
I think the numbers somewhere around 75 to 80% of them are gang related.
You want the greatest gun control law, or the greatest gun control policy would be to legalize drugs.
Mm. Man, you just made the Republican. She's like ready to leave.
Yeah,
legalize drugs, reduce gang crime.
Stick around.
I couldn't have said it better than Creighton right there. But anyway,
stick around. We've got some brownies for you after this.
No, we don't.
Don't tease Galt.
Galt. That is not.
Galt perked up.
Oh, my God. That is not. All right. So, Second Amendment. Let's talk about it for a second. The Constitution clearly says you have the right to bear arms, shall not be infringed, period.
What if
quote, not out of context, in order. I'm not Piers Morgan.
It is
the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, period.
It says that a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed.
Exactly.
But the important thing to note for those who always hear the militia argument is that it does not say the right of the militia to keep and bear arms. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms.
But I'm head of the IUPUI College Democrats. What do you need?
No, you're not.
What do you need one of these assault rifles for?
College, that means you're the guy that's not doing anything at IUPUI.
Somebody tried to say that, and
why do you need weapons of war?
So you have to understand firearms before you can argue against specific firearms. First of all, an assault rifle, there's all of the scary looking parts are all aesthetic. The pistol grip, it's just a grip. It's just painted black. If it was wooden, you wouldn't be afraid of it. It shoots the same bullets as a gun that doesn't look as scary. I mean, handguns kill more people than assault rifles.
The argument they go for, though, to their credit, they don't necessarily
to their credit.
No, to the okay, not to their credit. To make to
are
play
you head of IUPUI
to play,
Democrat
to play devil's advocate for a second. To play devil's advocate
all
for
right,
a second.
Give it to me.
They don't necessarily. I mean, some of them do the look scary argument, but what they try and do is say that an assault rifle, assault weapon, whatever you want to call it, is to them undeniably meant to kill people.
But it's not.
But that's the argument they make. No,
but
yes. My dad hunts with an assault rifle.
I mean,
he does. So
well,
I hate giving them
what they want. They want us to use the word assault. It's not an assault rifle. It's a semi-automatic rifle. Assault is just a scary word that liberals threw on it to make everyone afraid of guns.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
That's the mentality that they kind of take.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
That should be step one for libertarians, to start calling guns what they are.
I think I think
that'll help clear up some of the confusion.
You'll hate my name drop, but Dana Lash actually had a good point in that we should just start using, we should call them personal defense weapons.
You don't like the name Killing Machines?
Didn't you show me that? Or no, somebody showed me a comic and it was a gun and it was all labeled. And it was a liberal media guy, and it was like a crazy boomstick, or whatever they called it. And it was like a scary racist grip. It was funny. I'll have to post it.
Actually, scary racist grip was my DJ name back in college.
Okay. Anyway.
Things you didn't want to know.
So now that we know what the Second Amendment says, any gun control legislation is clearly unconstitutional. Anything. Even limiting
on a federal level.
Yes, yeah, on a federal level. We can go down into states later. But technically the federal government should not be allowed to tell you can't have an RPG or a tank. They shouldn't be able to tell you anything like that.
I don't think they actually do.
Are you telling me I can have a tank?
Okay,
maybe not, but a tank, they can't
limit the size of your magazines. They can't tell the manufacturer that they can't make this kind of weapon.
But they still don't
do that.
They're trying. And if it passes, it can go up to the Supreme Court.
Are there not federal limits on automatic, fully automatic weapons?
Oh, there is that limit. But that actually, technically
they can't do that.
No, they can't. But they don't necessarily limit it as much as they require you to have a license, which is kind of not really making an argument because it is still limiting it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to understand.
You can drive, but you got to buy this license first.
I'm not standing up for the feds. But
it sounds like it.
No, because they just... I'm not
you statist. Hey, Creighton, pass a law.
I don't think we should have any restrictions on a federal level at all on the purchase of firearms. But let's be clear. They're not the law doesn't say you can't own automatic weapons. It says in order to own an automatic weapon, you have to buy a federal firearms license, which is legally different than just banning it. So. I'm just saying.
Right.
All
right,
so I really haven't heard a convincing argument why you should be allowed to bring a boomstick into school.
Because it's your right.
Because I can't, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They can't tell me I can't.
But I have a right to live.
And
if I shoot you and murder you...
Yeah, exercising your right to own
then
property.
Now I'm afraid of you, so I don't want you to have guns. You just threatened to murder me.
You don't have a right. You don't have a right to not be scared.
The pre-qualifier to that sentence was if.
Let's be clear. The whole
for once
when you drop the it's my right to do this and you don't have they I mean of course they're gonna come back with I have the right to my safety no one die like I Seth a guy in our chapter Seth made a point that you know why Piers Morgan would say why well no one needs an assault rifle no one needs 20 clips in a magazine you know. Seth was like, well, Rosa Parks didn't need to get up and go to the back of the bus. I mean,
I know.
It's not a question of need. It's a question of, you know, people's rights.
Yeah, thank God that the founders didn't write a bill of needs. They wrote a bill of rights.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's...
Don't you take my tank away from me.
That's an important point, because I think that point is lost on a lot of people that we're talking about. We're trying to use the government to keep people safe and... whatnot. I mean, that's a common reason that people want to make laws, but, I mean, you have to be clear that... They're arguing for taking away something that supersedes the government, on infringing on something that supersedes the state. It was there first. It created the state. You can't. I mean, it's a little bit deeper than just a you know what will you know scientifically result in less violence. I mean, because statistically, it's on our side. Statistically, more guns lead to less gun crime.
Well, you can have statistics say whatever you want them to. That's the problem with statistics.
Well, I'm just saying. So the fundamental argument I think we need to make as people who support these things is not so much that you know it doesn't look scary or I'm not going to hurt somebody on a campus. I mean, we need to just say it's my right to own it and it's none of your damn business.
All right. And do you know why? So that's what they don't understand is why. Why do you need that right?
Doesn't matter.
It does matter, or they're never going to understand it. And the reason you need that right is Second Amendment wasn't written so I can hunt squirrels. It was written to protect myself from the government.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
It was written to protect myself from any government, not just our own government, from foreign governments.
Like
invading.
The Russian government.
From
the Canadians.
If the Russians...
I'm with you now.
This is the reason...
Guns in every classroom.
No, the Japanese have said several times that that's the reason they didn't invade us, is because they knew our population was armed. Our regular citizens had weapons, and that's why they didn't invade.
They invaded Alaska.
The number one killer of people in history. Do you know what it is?
Dysentery.
The flu.
Democide. Death by government.
Oh, come on.
Well, how many people did Mao kill? 70 million people? How many people did Stalin kill? 30
Genghis Khan!
People? I don't know. It's millions. I think they killed more than Hitler.
Hitler killed 30 million Jews. Yeah. Stalin killed by starvation. He killed,
Hitler killed,
I think, twice as many.
Hitler killed 12 million.
Oh.
Stalin was 50.
Stalin was more than Hitler because he starved him all to death.
Ukraine, after he took over in Ukraine, he starved the entire country and killed 7 million.
On purpose. He did it on purpose.
Stalin was the greatest mass murderer, of the modern era, at least.
But you're ignorant if you don't think that our own government has killed people.
All right, well, we're almost out of time,
does anyone disagree with that?
How many people, on what level though?
Are you saying on the same level as like Stalin?
I just asked a question.
I mean, they've killed people, but I mean,
do we want to bring abortion into this because they've killed millions?
No, we really don't. All right, let's wrap up.
We could do that.
We're out of time.
Yeah, but I think the point Chris is trying to make is that
man, you are a Republican.
The point Chris is trying to make is that
I get the microphone for 2 minutes and I say abortion.
Hang on. Chris is actually trying to make a decent point, and that is that there is a culture in America that it'll never happen here. That'll never happen here. All these bad things that we hear about that all these other governments have done is it'll never happen here because this is America. And the fact remains that Japanese people were rounded up and put in cages because they were Japanese.
Germans
were – the same thing happened to Germans.
In both wars.
I mean, if the South would have won the Civil War, it would have been a federal – it would have been a government, going to war with its – since the South lost, the federal government went to war with its own people. If we want to get into a federationist.
You're flying that rebel flag,
I mean, the reason that Virginia seceded from the Union is because they were ordered to fire on what they considered to be their countrymen. I mean, the United States government is not above oppressing its own people in physical and violent ways. And just trampling. I mean, the NDAA has the potential to be one of the most oppressive laws in the history of the American country. The Posse Comitatus Act is under attack. I mean, people using the military to police the country. I mean, these things are actually on the books. They are actually in play in the United States. So, yeah, I think using the argument that the Second Amendment was there to protect the people from the government, should the government ever become a tyrannical, is totally legitimate argument. And not just judging from the history of the United States, but, I mean, you can judge that from the history of the whole freaking world. I mean, even before guns, they took your weapons. They took your means to defend yourself. So,
and every time history repeats itself, the cost is greater.
Because there's more people.
Boom. All right, boom. Let's wrap up. Let's start with Greg. Final words for this episode. Tell us what's happening, if you've got any final thoughts before we wrap up.
I think the best way to think of the Second Amendment is like insurance. Nobody wants the costs associated with it until they need it. That's just essentially what it is.
Yeah, I hope that I never have to use my firearm.
Exactly. And like,
against another person.
The problem is the costs are human, Well, the media portrays them as human costs. I mean, ultimately, a lot of the atrocities would still happen. But, that's the only way I think of it. I mean, if we ever need it, I'm glad we have it.
On top of the points I've already made, I would say that for those that would believe that we need to take sensible solutions to this to protect our children, because I saw Gabby Giffords give her speech on C-SPAN the other day, and it just infuriated me, because they are just using a girl who got shot in the head as just emotive fodder for pushing something that they know is unpopular. I mean, I don't doubt that Gabrielle Giffords believes the things she does, but she's up there because she got shot, and... I mean, it's just emotive fodder, and it really infuriated me. But they use the argument that, we have to protect the kids and all this stuff. And I mean, the fact remains that if you're worried about kids dying, talk about swimming pools, talk about cars. These things kill way more children than guns do. So I think from all perspectives, the only thing that really
results are the only thing that the gun control advocates have on their side is emotion and the imagery of being someone who is sensible and cares about people, when in reality it's the exact, I mean, that's often the statist argument, but this one is very clear that, I mean, statistics are against them. Logic is against them. History is against them. The only thing that is on their side, yeah, the law is against them.
Emotions are on their side.
Yeah, they have emotion on their side. They have imagery on their side. They have spin on their side. And it's just political pandering. I mean, let's face it. It's just political pandering.
All right. I'm going to, and by the way, before, switching gears a little bit, Mr. Regional Director, what is coming up in the universe of Young Americans for Liberty?
Yes. So, like I've said millions of times, this podcast is not affiliated with Young Americans for Liberty in an official way, so let me disclaim that first. However, the Young Americans for Liberty in Indiana, or Young Americans for Liberty is having a state convention in Indiana that is open to everybody, young, old, student, non-student, YAL member, non-YAL member. Every single person who takes the time to register and come to it is allowed to come.
Except, can Chris Colt come?
Yeah, he's allowed to.
He says that, but he has to have permission from the president.
We'll get into that later. I don't want another fist fight.
I posted on the website. I posted on our on the We Are Libertarians website a link to the registration page. But I mean, you don't have to be affiliated with Yale before this day. I mean, you just register.
All you
have to do is register.
I plan on going. I'm old and I'm not a member of Yale, so.
It's completely open to everybody. Everybody.
All right. And I've got two things.
And it's at IUPUI on March 23rd.
Jesse Riddle says to Chris Galt, "Tell Galt that I am disagreeing with IUPUI, contracts of property rights. By signing to go, I'm sure you by default agree with their policies." I'm sure you do have to sign a contract or something along those lines to go to school.
That's why I can't carry it there. Right. But it's school policy, so I'm in the student government, so technically the student government can send a affidavit to the chancellor that says we want to change it, and I'm working on that right now. So it's kind of my thing in school right now.
I think he's making the argument, though, that...
No, that I agreed to it by going there. So that's what right. I know, but I can change it.
The only kind of hiccup I have with that argument is that... What does the effect of public money
do? It's a public institution.
I mean, they are subsidized by, public money, and if the state has to abide by this,
I made a contract with the state when I did that, and the state...
What kind of anarchist are you, a contract with the state?
In student government?
Hey.
You're part of the oppressing class of IUPUI, ruling over your fellow students. How dare you vote for what they'd wish?
People make mistakes.
And I'm going to keep making mine.
I don't have too much longer left now, but I am working on this carry on campus idea. So if anybody listening goes to IEPUI and wants to help out, Fridays at noon, USG meets, come talk to me about it.
Every time you take a vote, you oppress your fellow students by voting.
Yeah.
For those, you use the force of
there
student
are a couple,
government.
There are a couple of us... I don't even know what to call those open thinkers. on the Safety and Violence Prevention Committee in the student government. That's what they call it. Isn't that like the most liberal thing you've ever heard? But we're turning it into let's do gun stuff.
I think it's hilarious. Like, I am totally for it, but I think that if I were a flaming liberal and I just heard you on this podcast...
They don't know yet, so I hope they don't listen to this.
Don't worry, nobody's listening.
I know.
All right, and my final thing for this week is we've launched the blog, and so the next step in the evolution was to kind of expand the amount of commentary that we're doing. Not just some of the news stuff that we do, but also giving you commentary. And one of the ways we're doing that is by opening it up to guest contributors. Joe Ruiz on the blog is managing some of the guest contributors. Shut up. We've had two people already contribute a couple articles. So check out We're Libertarians.
Twos of people.
Twos of people in the last 2 days, though. So if you want to be a guest contributor, if you're a writer, even if you're not a writer and you want to give it a shot, We'll edit it up and make it make you sound professional. So check that out. Go to WeAreLibertarians.com.
We'll quote you.
And if you go to the link, then you can find out how to be a contributor. Give the microphone over to Hannah. We're going to give her one final thought. What is your final thought of the week? What would you like to say to a bunch of libertarians? What's your opinion of the podcast? Let's ask that.
I've been on worse.
That's what she said. Don't tell us about your Friday nights. Tell us about the podcast.
Bam!
That was
damn, cold.
That was.
It's true.
That was pretty cool.
It's true. All right, give the microphone to Galt before you say anything.
Hey, actually, next time, if there's next time, if you guys, you know, whatever, I'll wear a t-shirt that says I heart assault weapons.
All right, good. Okay. See, there's common ground.
I want one of those.
I'll bring my gun.
See, I think I've noticed something. I think I've noticed something. You know what this tells me? We got five people in here, and I think that tells you to get a new board so we can put more mics.
I agree. I think we should ask for some donations or some people to buy through our Amazon store or something.
Yeah,
we'd love to upgrade, wouldn't we?
We have a board that has three inputs.
And we have five people, so we
pass the mic.
No, it's like one of those old timey like radio commercials where it has like the four people at the one mic in the background.
and a new board, a proper new board, would cost about $230 large. We do ask that you go and support our advertisers. Go check out Amazon. When you shop on Amazon, use the link. We get a commission. It doesn't cost you any extra. If you want Hulu, go click our link. If you want to buy Audible, get a free trial of audible.com, which is awesome. And heck, even if you want to just donate some money for a new board so we can become more fancy.
Can we set up like a Kickstart page or something?
We have PayPal on the website.
Okay, okay.
There's a tip jar. So if you want to go and just tip us,
your boy, 10, Peter Thiel.
$15, yeah. $20, $300, whatever.
I think he sold PayPal. We're good. I think he was just the founder. But
so
who? Oh, Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
So we
think he's doing those libertarian islands now.
I'm in the middle of begging. Please, thank you.
Spengel asked me to sell blood and semen the other day. That's how hard up we're getting.
Mixed together, though, it's a special concoction.
Ladies and gentlemen, that represents the bottom of how far we could fall in this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast that is now in the gutter.
All right, Chris, final thoughts?
I gave them. I'm good.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. And if you want to help support the growth of this podcast, go hit the tip jar on We Are Libertarians. Thanks for listening, and we greatly appreciate it. Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell. This podcast is produced by What Is a Hoosier Productions.